Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to Women in WP. This episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, a professional form builder plugin for WordPress that allows you to make beautiful forms with ease. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Tracy Levesque, joining us from Philadelphia. She is the co-owner of Yikes, a professional WordPress development and design company. Welcome, Tracy.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
We'd like to start off each episode by asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Well, back in the 1800s when I started web designing websites, back in the day, you know, we've been making websites since the 90s, and we started off doing, you know, static sites and then, you know, more dynamic sites, and then made our own, rolled our own CMS, and then other CMSs started popping up, like Mambo and Joomla, OS Commerce, like all these old CMSs. And we were experimenting. We wanted to adapt one, of course, to our workflow for our agency work. And I just didn't like any of them. I tried different ones. And then I had a baby, and my wife, Mia, made a blog for the baby, and it was in WordPress. And so I styled the blog for the baby, and I really liked it. And then that's how we got involved in WordPress. And so, and about, oh, I say about maybe 12 or so years ago, we, as an agency, we pivoted to like exclusively WordPress.
Having just listened to so many past episodes of our podcast, you are not the only mommy blogger turned web developer, and we call mommy blogging the gateway drug to web development.
I think that, you know, the joke is that the two Tracys are the same person, but I might be the same person too, because I followed your exact path, having the baby blog on WordPress to talk about my child that was born in 2003.
And I don't have any kids, so there's that.
Did you have a pet? Did you make a blog for a pet?
Mo the cat needs a blog.
No, but I did actually. No, okay. Actually, it was when I my first blogs were on B2. Which was the code base that was Cafelog, B2 Cafelog, which is the code base that was forked to become WordPress. So, but I had made a B2 blog called Name This, just so that I could, and I bought a friend had gotten me a cactus, and I was like, I need the internet to name this cactus. And so I made this. So it wasn't like a child, but then I would put the things that I owned, like my guitar, my car, on this Name This blog, and then had the internet name it on a much smaller scale than like Bodie McBoatface and whatnot we have now. But yeah.
Nice.
Well, you mentioned when you first got on about working with Mambo, and that is a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I remember like my first Mambo install and thinking, wow, this is so powerful.
What did you like when you were tweaking that mommy blog? Like, what were you doing, and what did you like about it, and how did you evolve your skills from there?
Oh gosh, I probably did the biggest hack job. I'd be horrified to see what I did to that theme. Oh my gosh. But I just found the theme system to be really easy to understand.
Uh-huh.
Like if you've ever had to like theme for something like Magento or something, it's just like a nightmare. But I found it really easy to do and understand. And it made, even just looking at the code, not knowing anything about anything, not, you know, like Googling and learning about WordPress properly, I was able to figure out what was going on. So that's why I liked it.
PHP is pretty readable that way. I mean, that's why it's an easy language to learn for sure.
I'm assuming you didn't create like a child theme back then.
Was that even available? I don't even remember.
No, how early were those hacking
introduced? Themes. Oh yeah. I did the same thing. I didn't use the Kubrick, whatever that theme. I actually used the classic, and I hacked that. But what I did is I made my static HTML page, and then I took the middle of it and I took the WordPress and I just chucked it in there. And I was like, look, it's a blog. And that was it.
Back before anything had to be mobile friendly or responsive, and you could just make it tables, right, and tables and tables and many nested tables.
Oh my goodness,
oh, the yes. good old days.
I have nightmares for that still.
I remember when I learned about child themes, I think it were Camp Philly like 2008 or 9 or 10 or something like that. I'm like, whoa. So the first way I made a child theme was copying the entire theme over again and then changing it. You know, instead of just the files I needed or the CSS I needed, I would just make a copy of the entire thing. And then I learned, oh, you only have to make it, you only have to like have the files that you're actually altering in your child theme. Like, huh?
I think I did the same thing, but the first time I was styling anything for, I think it was for Buddy Press. And I like copied every single file and I was editing just a couple of them. And yeah, that was, I have learned now, but that was a learning curve, especially coming from when you had to like literally hand code your like static websites. I'm used to that, right? Oh yeah, of course, I'm going to have lots of different files. The theming was really difficult for me, like that bridge to gap between static websites and that theme running and having that these pages that just were like magically created. They didn't actually exist, but I was like, "Well, wait a minute. I have an about page, but I have nothing at I have no like file that says about.
About.html.
I have no folder that was about. And like all of these things, like that was so hard for me to like wrap my brain around. But
Content in a database, dynamically populating a template. It's cool, right?
It is.
Yeah. I got it because I'm so old school that I learned, you know, back in the day how to do mail merge with Excel and Word and create. Nice. Envelopes and labels and letters. And so for me, WordPress, when I first heard about it, I was taking a CSS class and the instructor mentioned it at the end of the class. And it was like, oh, I get this. It's like mail merge. And so the database is your spreadsheet. And it really does look just like a spreadsheet. And your templates are like your envelope template that has the placeholder for the name and address and city and zip. And it made perfect sense to me. So, and I just thought, that's beautiful. That's efficient. So you were coding. How much were you coding? And then what was the trajectory of like kind of dallying around with themes and customizing themes and then moving into actually having a full-fledged agency and then kind of becoming more of like a manager?
We've had the full-fledged agency since 96 when we started the business.
Yeah.
You know, we've always had employees, but me personally, I still code. I still code to this day, every day a little bit. I mean, some sites I've almost done entirely myself. But then also we have employees to do more of the things. And I do a lot of project management and discovery and that kind of thing. But I still enjoy it so much that I don't want to stop doing that. I do less. I definitely do less. And I definitely, I don't keep learning more and more of the hard stuff. I let other people do the hard part, but I still just love it. I still love learning about it. And also, I think it really helps me from the transition of business. My wife does all the business development. From the transition of like business development, this is the scope of work, to me being able to communicate that to everyone who's working on the project. It just helps so much if I understand, at least conceptually, what's going on. So evolution, I would say I've definitely pushed our agency to evolve when it comes to best practices, standards, workflows, DevOps, that kind of thing. Like I love to surround myself with people who are smarter than me. I am totally open-minded to better new ways of doing things. And if something makes sense and it sounds good, then we adapt.
I love it. And actually, like one of the things, like, so you also have plugins, and I use the MailChimp one because it's much better than the MailChimp one.
Awesome.
Absolutely. But also, like, I, you know, when I tell clients and I'm like, I know the people behind this and I know that they know their stuff and that it's going to be good and solid. So it says a lot that from a UX standpoint, if you have leadership that is so out of touch with like UX and UX research and design practices and all of these things, and not at least have that interest in it or, you know, dabble in it, same thing with development. It's really easy to have that start getting disconnected and not be like this unified to improve things. So I really appreciate, I think that is a really, like, it speaks a lot for how you have run that agency and grown it. So since the 1900s, you had this agency.
Late 1800s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now how big is your agency now?
Now we are 8 people. We've only been like, you know, 9-8 people. Like I don't want to become a 10 up or anything like that. I really like the sustained, happy little agency that we are. We get to do really cool projects. And, you know, I've read that after you have 13 employees, that's when people start to be unhappy. That's when people start to not know each other. And I don't know, I like keeping things nice and family, like not dysfunctional family, just like, you know, a caring, not too caring, you know, like
a big family, but not, but not,
I like it.
Not like lots of triplets and stuff, you know, like a reasonable size.
A family that cares, but isn't all in your business or anything like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
A caring and supportive family at a professional level.
Can we get like a t-shirt? Like, yikes, like a family, but not all in your business.
Sure.
Well, I've heard for years, people have always said that if you want to grow your business and you want to make more money, that you really have to give up the control of the, you know, the minutiae, like the developing the websites, to do the management and to kind of be the rainmaker. And that's something that I have always struggled with myself, because I really like making the websites. That's like what I enjoy the most, but you know, you can't do that without bringing in the new business. But I'm also a control freak and don't want to give it over to other people.
Well, you know, that's why Mia and I work so well. It's like, she does all the business development. I do help, like when she has questions with certain things. And I also help like make the quotes and stuff, but she does all the business development. She does all the talking, all the meeting, all the proposal writing, all the, when it comes to like lawyers and, you know, scopes of work and MSAs and all that kind of stuff. She does all of that. So I can concentrate, just like I always say, she brings it in, I get it out the door. Right. So she is completely out of touch with like the day-to-day coding. She doesn't even have a local, like barely has a local install, like, you know, on her machine. But me, that frees me up to like still keep an understanding and of the technology, because like, I think in order to be successful in this space, you have to be aware of like what is new and coming up and be an early adopter of it, even if it's painful at first, you know, even if it's like, ooh, this is new, I don't know, this is change. Like we started using Gutenberg before it was in core, like the August before, before the December where it became part of core, we are already building our client sites on it. And so we, you know, and it was at first, like it was a change, right? Cause like been making websites forever and used to this one way, but then soon, like, and also another thing that helped me was that I work on a site with my friend Mika, called Let's Watch TV, and I write for it every week. So I've always been a website builder, not a content creator so much, but she's flipped, you know, Gutenberg onto the Gutenberg plugin. I was forced to use it. And it took me a couple months, but then it suddenly clicked. I'm like, oh, this is so much better than Tiny MCE, you know, like, and then, so I was, because I was forced to use it early, I got it, you know, and I loved it. And so we were early to start making custom blocks and those kinds of things. And our clients love it. You know, trying to teach clients how to like do the simplest of things with Tiny MCE, it was like a nightmare. But you can make blocks look exactly the way they want them to. So I just think it's so important to not think that you know it all and be stuck in your ways and be really open-minded to new things.
That's hard for developers.
Well, and I think that's how I always felt about Steve Jobs, is that he was always staying aware of what was new and upcoming and put it, channeling that into the new products at Apple. Maybe I'm misremembering.
No, I think that that whole, I know, because I was the get off my lawn disgruntled, like, I have to now change all these things.
But that's your job, right? That's you signed up for this. That's your job. Like, that's how I feel. Exactly. It's like, I signed up for this job. I signed up to be a web developer. So it's my job to learn new things.
even just the fact that we're in technology and, you know, technology changes so fast. And, you know, if I look at, you know, I anytime someone says like, oh, I'm an expert at this, I'm like, well, but are you really? Because technology changes so fast. So like having that mindset of, no, you know, I know things, but I also don't know what I don't know. And allowing that to really guide that. And I think especially with agency work, and like not just saying, because like I have inherited clients that have had a bad experience because that was the mindset of, nope, this is the right way. And then they just kind of did this thing and they come with this site and they're like, this wasn't what I needed. I can't use it. And that's the danger of doing for doing that, you know, kind of sticking into like, oh, well, this is the way we always done it. That's always a day. But so with your what have you heard? Because I still have, I mean, I like Gutenberg. I also hate it. So it's a love hate kind of thing, because there's some things that I love. Like
I love Tiny MCE.
No, because I had made my own custom solution for it. And so now I have to redevelop it into Gutenberg. Into blocks. I like the idea, because the idea of having a block editor makes much more sense. I just think that some of the UI can be confusing, or just the fact that there's not the options. Like I want to turn on the borders. I want to see the buttons, you know, like those kinds of things. You don't have the even option to do that. But so what kind of things have you done, especially with custom blocks for clients? Because not all clients are going to be very technical and, you know, being able to understand it all. So what kind of customizations do you make with the block editor, with the admin, everything like that, to make sure that the customer is actually very happy with the website?
Well, we've always like customized WordPress or bespoke WordPress, right? For exactly what clients need. So, you know, we have a specifications of exactly what they need, and we'll make custom post types, taxonomies, custom meta to match that exactly. And then when it comes to blocks, you know, you said like customers aren't really technical, clients aren't really technical. That's why they love Gutenberg, because it's not technical. It's so easy. We did. Is anyone here familiar with Mythical? Good Mythical Morning, Rhett and Link.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Good. Okay, good. It's like I didn't know I hope Mythical doesn't listen to this, but like I did not know that they were a thing until we were matched with them, you know, as an agency. And then I mentioned it to my kid, and my kid was like, oh my God, good wow. Mythical Morning. I'm like, what is it? I don't know. They're like the longest running YouTube daily series. They have a bazillion million subscribers. So they ever get doing their first website project. So they take all of the food data and reviews and rankings and listicles and blah, blah, blah. They've mentioned during the show, they have a whole new editing team. And so they've made this site called sport.com, where it kind of aggregates all that information. So they have listicles, they have rankings, you know, like a bonus pick from Rhett and Link. So, and we made custom blocks for all of that. So like a ranking is like comprised of, you know, a product image, a superlative, like best of the best or whatever. And then the title. And then we made an affiliates block where they can add buttons and then pop in the affiliate link, and the affiliate link uses an API to grab the metadata of the product. The API sounds so great, so it doesn't always grab it. But then it populates like the price and the name of the vendor and stuff. And then, you know, they can put in a description. And it's so easy for them to assemble these links, and it ranks, you know, puts the order, the numbers, it numbers them easily. They can turn the numbers off, they can convert it into a listicle, they can reverse the order of the listicle. So yeah, it's like that was really cool. But the one thing about Gutenberg is that I find the clients expect everything to be that easy and magical, and they don't understand that the blocks are actually hard to make, and you're making like a little React app for them every time you make a new block. So they're like, oh yeah, can this do this? And like, actually, that's going to take more work. But then for clients who have the budget for us to make custom blocks, I use a lot of reusable blocks with, so I'll style up a reusable block for them, which they can plop into and use like a template.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
So it sounds like your Gutenberg is, the way that you've implemented it and are working with clients is really for this repeating content, stuff that they're going to do frequently. You know, it may not be that they're laying out like unique page layouts for kind of more the static pages, but it sounds like this is more almost related to posts and repeating content and things that that I think are a perfect use for that. I think doing really complex layouts is challenging and kind of not messing them up, but you don't expect the client to do too much with that, right? They might edit some text.
No, yeah, we all make people like a suite of like reusable blocks to put together landing pages. So we have another client, Golf Now. They're like the Golf Channel's business to business like branch, and so they have to make landing pages all the time. So you know, we'll make like a couple. We'll use some templates. We will use templates, but we'll also use a suite of like reusable blocks to like, you know, pop in some things that like we'll design ahead of time for them and then create reusable blocks so they can assemble these landing pages.
And I think that's the key though, is the reusable part, because I think when people want to take that thing and then completely customize it, not related to what you originally designed, is when it gets really challenging. Cause then it's like, no, we created it to do this and look this way. You have these few options for it. And if you do that, it works, but don't expect now to go crazy doing something, you know, completely custom off of that.
Right.
Because then, like you said, we're going to have to go back and do some more work to make that option available in that, in that little React app we just created for you. So I think that if clients are willing to kind of play within color within the lines,
Well, it's great. I mean, but they don't want to go too rogue because also their branding will be completely inconsistent. And one page from this will be inconsistent.
So yes.
I don't think a lot of people are looking for complete rogue freedom to do whatever. Maybe some people who put together landing pages for like campaigns.
Yeah.
That's the only time I see where clients want to just be able to do whatever they want, you know. But otherwise, they want their pages to be consistent from page to page.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's a really good philosophy. You also develop plugins. And so some of your plugins have been around for a while. Do you plan to do any, what was the decision-making around sharing these plugins? And do you plan to create more Gutenberg block plugins as you're kind of building these things like for Good Mythical Mornings? Like, oh, maybe someone else might like something with this feature. What's your decision-making process on whether you're going to provide a public plugin?
Well, the Listicle plugin that we use for Sporked is actually a fork of a Listicle plugin that Mika and I created for Let's Watch TV. So it's a Listicle plugin that's in the directory. It's just not under Yikes. It's under Let's Watch because I did that with her over there. So we used that and forked it for Mythical. So how do we get into the plugin business? Once upon a time, I had a employee who was super into plugins, and I always was afraid of doing plugins because they seemed like a lot of work. They seemed like the support would be, you know, too much. It just seemed stressful, so I avoided it. But he liked plugins so much, I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. And it was the MailChimp one. Like, all right, put it in the directory. And then I came to learn that, you know, people start, if they like your plugin, they'll use it. And then, you know, they'll download it and install it. And before you know it, we had like tens of thousands of installs. And we're like, oh, well, let's make a paid add-on for this. And then people started to buy it. And you're like, whoa. So we had a second plugin, a plugin that I actually is more supported, sorry, than the MailChimp one, the custom tabs for WooCommerce one. It's a very simple plugin. All it does is add custom tabs to a WooCommerce product, which is not default, you know, default behavior yes. of WooCommerce. And that one, it is grew quicker because it's a much simpler plugin and easier to support. And so we have a pro. So we did the MailChimp one with base and then add-ons. And we experiment with the custom tabs on with a pro, with a free and a pro. And that's it. Your only choice. And that one is way, way better to support. And, you know, I just thought it was just going to be like people, like mean people, like sending mean tickets and saying mean things. But most of it is people really nice and like, oh, thank you, you know, and loving the plugins. I've had people like come up to me at WordCamps and be like, oh, you know, we love your plugins. I'm like, oh, cool. So it wasn't as stressful as I thought it would be. And it's nice passive income. I mean, we're not becoming millionaires off of it, but it provides a steady passive income.
I love a premium plugin and I will always pay for a quality supported plugin. You know, my fear is sometimes when I buy into a plugin, which I just did recently for a client site that needed a feature I'd never done before. And I found like, why reinvent the wheel? And I went and bought it. And then I sent a message asking, you know, a question. And it's been 7 days and I haven't heard anything. Mm. So it's like now I question even using the plugin that I purchased. But I'm sure your plugins are not like that.
Only if like we're all on vacation or something. Like there are the really long vacations around the holidays where people may not get an answer for, you know, 5 days or something.
You started the agency with your wife. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
It's awesome. I love working with Mia.
Yeah.
We like each other. And so
I mean, that's good. You still like each other after the agency and after work, right? Yeah. So that's good. So it can work because they always danger of, you know, working with your significant other, but you know, you two have been together for like 700 years, something like that.
Yes.
Since the 1800s, at least. Yeah. Something like that.
For real, it'll be 30 in November. 30 years. Oh my gosh.
30 years.
That is intense.
For people that are listening and can't see, Tracy L is actually 17 years old. So, quite an accomplishment.
She doesn't age.
I transcend time.
She's been around since the 1800s. She just changes up her style.
She invented the internet. Actually,
I do not change my style at all. I'm like stuck in 90s lesbian mode, like always.
I mean, it works.
I wanted to ask you on your, you know, submission form for us, you said that you had a really uphill battle as a woman and lesbian owned business to make connections. Can you talk more about that?
Sure, definitely. I think number one, it's not easy being a woman-owned business in tech. There's countless times where like, and still to this day, where I'm the only woman in a Zoom or something. And like the other day, well, this is months ago, but like I show up to a Zoom, it's a bunch of dudes and my primary contact at the client's place, the organization, who's a woman. And I show up and you can see the guy like looking around and he's like, oh, are we waiting for anyone else? Like, is there anyone else that needs to attend the meeting? Like, oh, is there any men folk that can understand what I'm about to say? You know, and then I'm like, nope, just me. And oh my gosh, he was just barraging me with like tech speak and all this stuff. And I just kept up with him like every second. I'm like, you are not going to, you know, not today. You know what I mean? Like, no. So there's that. And also as a company and an agency and a business, I think women always put themselves on sale. They do not charge what they're worth. There's so much imposter syndrome. And one thing I have learned from doing this business for so long and inheriting sites by other agencies that were like the super duper greatest agencies ever, everybody's faking it. You know what I mean? Like everybody's code like does not like shine gold, you know? You get into like some of these sites and you're like, oh my gosh. And you just think like everyone must be following the best standards and practices. And you put so much pressure on yourself and you think like, oh, we're not doing as good a job, but you are, you probably are doing just as good, if not a better job than everyone else out there. So getting over those hurdles, charging what you're worth. And then there's just like the whole world of like networking, right? It's like dude-owned businesses can make these connections and network and do these things that I'm just not willing to do. I'm not going to play golf with somebody to like get a job. I'm not going to.
I'd rather die.
You know? Yeah. It's like, and you know, it's like, we just don't have the same, we're not born with the same connections, especially like women, queer folks, folks of color. It's like, we're just not born with the same connections as the dudes have. And so it's hard. You have to work harder. You have to work extra. You have to work against yourself too. You have to work against your own imposter syndrome, and just like plow ahead and like realize that you can do this job as well or better than anyone else. So, and also I think as women, we're such helpers. We're such, like Chris Lemma says, Luke Skywalker versus Yoda. You know, you want to be the hero and the rescuer and you work so hard and, you know, you do things for the WordPress community and like volunteer all your time. And then like what I remember is the last community summit in Paris, I had this epiphany that like, this is not as a business owner what I should be doing. I shouldn't be like in the trenches with the WordPress community. I have to be a boss, you know, like I have to be a boss and I have to make our agency successful. And that's how we can have influence in this community. Then I can allow my employees to like do good things and do cool stuff in the community. But me and Mia, no, this is not what we should be doing at all.
For those of you listening, you can't see us, but we're all nodding vigorously throughout this entire thing because it's, you know, it's so true.
It's like marginalized people being successful is a revolutionary act. And I absolutely believe that. And that's how things are going to change. Like we can't sit around and wait for the people in charge to like invite us to the table or finally become enlightened and realize like diversity is a good thing. You know, oh, I am going to completely change like the leadership at my organization and like make it diverse. That's not going to happen.
Said you know? No one ever.
Right. We have to become successful ourselves and we have to like create this community. That's what's going to change things.
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Oh, look at that. That's like nice. That. That whole revolutionary of, and honestly, it's like putting past the, you know, that, that sacrificial kind of attitude where like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, or, you know, and that imposter syndrome, which is so hard. It's almost mm-hmm. like if we think about overcoming that imposter syndrome as a revolutionary act, as opposed to just yeah. the fact that we're faking it until we make it. That's huge because that's exactly, you're absolutely right. And my experience as a queer woman in tech, I felt the same thing. And I have a different experience than many other women in tech, because I am more masculine of center presenting. And so I have these, you know, cishet white guys that have never seen someone like me. And I'm in mm-hmm. a room with them and they just don't have a box to put me in. And so they mm-hmm. just like, you could see the smoke coming out of their ears. They just don't understand how I am communicating with them like another male leader that they're used to. And so they just kind of like, you know, like tilt. And then they just treat me like a cishet white guy. And like, that's it. And I'm like, but that's a revolutionary thing because now those, like, they have no idea what, they have no idea what just happened. And I won. Like, that's it. Like,
I just never realized how important networking was in yeah. the business. I was like, you know, I'm just going to sit in my house at my computer and make my websites and people are going to find me. But it really wasn't until I actually started going to my first WordCamp and meeting other people that my business really took off. And I think that's a lot harder for women.
Yeah. After that epiphany at in Paris, I just made it my goal to like become a VIP, a WordPress VIP agency partner. So I'd heard about it, but I always thought that it was only for big giant agencies. And then I was talking to my friend Chris, and she said, oh, they're an agency partner, and they started with two people. I'm like, what? So then I just made that my goal in life and just made it happen. So like that networking piece, I found out who are the people who I need to talk to, where were they going to be? I was going to be there too. How do I meet them? You know, I somehow made my way into presenting at the VIP workshop before we were a partner. I gave a diversity talk. And so I just got to be around, and also VIP, you know, if you think work camps are fun, VIP, you know, their word camp equivalent is amazing. And so I just made myself a presence in those spaces and just made it happen. And I was just like, if I get set my sights on something, I will work on it until it happens. And then it happened. And it's just like changed our business completely. And also, you know what? We're the first women-owned and queer LGBT, you know, certified and women-owned certified business to become a VIP agency partner. Wow. I'm like, y'all, so if y'all cool. want to believe in diversity, it's like, you know, your list right now doesn't seem very diverse.
And you bring a lot of values to your business too, because you mentioned a triple bottom line, people, planet, yeah. profit. So not just profit. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about your three P's.
Sure. So since the beginning, in the inception of the business, there are three of us who started the business, me, Mia, and another woman named Vicky. And the three of us all come from nonprofit backgrounds. And at the time, the word was like socially responsible business, like Ben and Jerry's or something like that. And so we just made a vow that we wanted to have a socially responsible business. We wanted to treat people the way we wanted to be treated. At businesses, we, you know, did stuff that helped the environment and also helped, like, you know, the surrounding community. And so we've always operated that way. And it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 10 years into the business where there was like the sustainable business movement became a thing and the triple bottom line and all that. And so we finally found our people, and that was really cool. And so we've just always operated that way. So we're a certified B Corporation, which is, if you're familiar at all with LEED certification for buildings, like how green a building is, mm-hmm. B Corp certifications for how green, you know, sustainable a business is. And it's hard. It is not like check a few boxes and woo, you're B Corp. It's a pretty rigorous audit. And we've been a B Corp for, I think, since the second year of its inception. And we're also a benefit corporation as well, which is in Pennsylvania, it's like a business entity type.
Yeah. I worked for a health magazine. And so I would use the B Corp logo for products, like, cause it was health mm-hmm. magazine. So sustainable products. Mm-hmm. I never thought about a web agency being a B Corp. Yeah. And so what is that? What gives you that designation?
Well, it's like the, you know, the benefits that we offer our employees, the yes. products that we use in our office. You know, our office is a LEED Platinum building. That's a whole nother discussion, but that's a project that my wife and I did separate from the business. So we were a tenant of the business, but we're also like landlords of the building that I'm in. So we, you know, we're in a LEED Platinum building. We just got solar put on the roof a couple of years ago. So those kinds of things.
That's so cool. That is so awesome. And you're in Philly, which is an awesome city. And you mentioned that you like to bike and, you know, just the food scene and everything. So when you're not being this super techie leader, shaker, mover of the tech industry, what do you do for fun?
I watch a lot of television.
Well, but so, that's like, also for work. That's for your website, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I've mentioned this a couple times before. So like I do, it's leswatch.tv. It is a database of queer female, transgender, non-binary characters, the actress who play them and the shows they're on. So you
can. And how many of that have been killed off on the shows? Is that
yes, and who's dead, who's alive? And so I do this with my friend Mika. I don't know if you're familiar with Mika. She pretty much runs the plugin directory.
Plugin directory is ridiculous. Yep. We need to get her on the show too. That's right.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah, you should totally. So
as a Philly resident, I guess I need to ask you a very important question. Whiz or no whiz?
I'm not a whiz fan. I like American cheese or mozzarella for a pizza steak. So pizza steak is mozzarella cheese and a tomato sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like to see how the locals really do it before I.
I'm not a Wiz fan.
Well, when I went to WordCamp US, I had a lot of internal trauma about whether, you know, Wiz or no Wiz. So I, you know, needed to.
It's just PTSD from it.
PTSD from my cheesesteak experience.
Well, it depends where you go. Some places are much more patient with the way you order.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wrote the cheesesteak post for the cheesesteak guide for WordCamp US when it was in Philly.
I read that.
Contributions to the community.
That that's the kind of contributor day I could contribute to. Is writing up a food guide on for a
WordCamp. I'll test all the food. Except I'm allergic to most of it. So, I mean, it'll be fine. Take some allergy meds. It's fine.
Well, I'm really excited about your letswatchtv.com because, you know, I find that TV watching, I'm just always going for the female dominated shows. And I just get so much more out of that. And if the splash screen for a show is just like dudes or a dude, I just go by, you know.
Oh, yeah. I can't even pay attention.
I can't even. So I'm this is going to be my new hobby as well.
It's
watching, reading your blog.
You can filter by like genre, you know, like if has a happy ending or not, if people die or not, you know. So there's lots of filters you can filter the shows by.
That's good. I mean, it's a good date guide. And I had to check on the website because I hadn't checked it in a while. And Vita's got a new season coming out. Okay, sorry.
Vita?
Yeah.
Website. Oh, but if it's not a new season. Is that under Shows We Love, maybe?
No, it's an ad.
Oh, it's an ad. No, there's no new season.
Okay.
So. It was like three and done. Yeah. Oh my God. Vita was my favorite.
It was so good.
It's my favorite of all time. Yeah.
I still think so about good. Those characters. Like,
oh, me too. So, you know, we go to cons too. We go to like, well, went back before the pandemic, we go to cons and Michelle Prada, she hugged me and I did not take a shower for the rest of the con. It was late. It was late in the con, but like, oh my God, it was like one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Well, it has been so fantastic having you on the show today. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Ninja Forms. And then before we go, if you could tell everybody where they can find you online.
I'm Lil Jimmy on everything. It's LiljimmI.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Proving that we're two different people.
Maybe proving.
Maybe.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.